Today's podcast is brought to you by Howie's new book, Paperboy. To order today, go to HowieCarshow.com and click on store.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
We got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald and the Spectator.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Here's the millennial with the mic, Grace Curley.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. We thank you all for joining us today. We've got a really great show planned. A busy show, lots of guests, and even a little bit of Hollywood pizzazz thrown into the mix, if you can believe it. We're going to have a lot of fun. Obviously, there's still breaking news right now, constantly, everywhere you look. The Supreme Court is currently considering former President Trump's immunity assertions regarding his election interference indictment. This is the special counsel Jack Smith case, for people, if that rings a bell. And Jack Smith is arguing, obviously, against Trump's team, claiming that the president should not receive total immunity from criminal charges. As of right now, from the audio that I've been hearing from some of the transcripts that are coming out, it seems like the justices are very skeptical of the former president's lawyers' arguments and his team. But I am not in the business of predicting how the Supreme Court decisions are going to come down and when they're going to come down. That's a big part of this as well. Factoring in, if they make a decision, will there be a trial before November? These are all questions that a lot of people are wondering, and we will keep you abreast of that. We are going to talk about Emerson. If you haven't seen this yet, 108 people, mostly students. I know this is the big excuse now, Jared, is like, well, no, the people just saw the protest and got hijacked by, you know, rabble rousers. 108 people arrested. A lot of the 108 were students at Emerson. So fear not. I don't think anyone's getting framed in this case. Arrested at the pro-Palestinian encampment last night and into this morning. Four Boston police officers were injured by the activists. And you know what I just discovered, Jared, like right before we came on? I kept hearing about these sprinklers at Harvard. Because Howie always talks about what's the best deterrent for when protesters slash hippies slash, I saw Kurt Schlichter calls them Hamas-hugging hippies. What's the best deterrent? Sometimes, you know, you bring in the horses, sometimes the hoses. I actually think the sprinklers in this case are super effective because they've got all these tents set up and the sprinklers are just soaking the tents. And it turns out that as morally righteous and brilliant as these activists are, they're not so tough. They're not so used to being uncomfortable. They're not so used to not having certain amenities or having to, you know, deal with certain variables. So the sprinklers are causing absolute meltdowns at Harvard. So
it's just too much. It's too close to a shower for them, I believe.
I went on the Harvard Crimson, and the reporters at Harvard at all these schools are very much on top of these things. Like, this is their Watergate, these Palestinian protests. So the Harvard Crimson has like minute by minute almost of last night, and the sprinkler part of it, that's all I looked for, Jared. I just went in and I just started typing sprinkler to find where it came up like 15 times. And at one point, one protesters, I don't know if they have walkie talkies or what, but calling to another one, you know, code yellow, sprinklers going off. Hurry, hurry. The tent's flooding. It's 40 degrees and the tents are all wet. They're calling it Sprinkler Gate. So I will look into that. I didn't have a ton of time. I just sent it to Howie. I said, you've got to check this out. This is unbelievable stuff. And we will get to that. Four Boston police officers were injured at the Emerson one yesterday. But I don't want to start with that, actually. I want to start with a bit of good news, which we're constantly lacking. And that would be Donald Trump's pit stop before his hush money trial this morning. So it's 6:30 a.m., which is pretty early for.
Yeah, I mean, when's the last time you think Joe Biden even saw 6:30 a.m.?
Well, I know that when the banks were collapsing, he pulled himself out of bed around 9:30, and that was supposed to be wow us, according to Jen Psaki. So 6:30 for him, I think it's been a while, Jared. Okay, I think it might have been around the time he was eulogizing, like, the KKK. Was it Robert Byrd? I think that's probably the last time he was up at 6:30, prepping for that. So Donald Trump's up at 6:30 this morning, and he stops. He does a pit stop at a construction site on Park Ave, and he's greeted by a large crowd of workers. You know, and you know what? Actually, the timing of this is beautiful, because yesterday, Joe Biden was telling us how he's really the working man. You know, hard hats and boots, and he still likes to put on his boots when he mows the lawn, but the Secret Service doesn't let him mow the lawn. But he's letting us know that he is the working. He's a friend of the working man. He's Scranton Joe. He connects with these people. And yet, weirdly enough, Donald Trump, in the Empire State, known to be fairly liberal, shows up at this stop and is greeted by a massive crowd of construction workers who are chanting USA and wanting to take pictures with the president. Now, he's becoming like the Where's Waldo of the Big Apple. Like, every day you wake up, I woke up this morning to text going, did you see Trump? Did you see where he is today? He's everywhere. And one day it's a bodega, or as my role model,
the bogadas,
Dr. B likes to call it, a bogada. It's a bogada in Harlem. The next day it's a construction site in Manhattan. And again, and we're going to talk about this in our poll question, but this move by the Biden administration, colluding with the DOJ, these corrupt Dem DAs and AGs, this move to trap Trump in the Empire State, to trap him in New York, and to make it impossible for him to truly campaign in a lot of other places, I think it's safe to say it's backfiring. Like everything else the Democrats do, they overplayed their hand with this one. Because here's the thing, he's going to campaign one way or another. And you know the expression, necessity is the mother of invention? If he's got to figure out a way to campaign in New York, he's going to do it. So now, he's campaigning in a blue state, and I gotta tell you, it hits different. Think about it from an optics perspective for a second here. What makes a bigger impact with the American people? Trump getting greeted by, you know, crowds of adoring fans in Florida or even in a swing state versus Trump getting a hero's welcome in Manhattan. The ads write themselves. Jonathan Turley called it a split screen election between these two. It's like one person is living in black and white. That would be Joe Biden reading pause off the teleprompter, standing in front of a step and repeat that says, go move, spread faith. Joe Biden, be better. And the other guy is in the middle of crowds of construction workers. By the way, some of these construction workers definitely didn't know the rules of the Secret Service. They're trying to, like, grab them by the shoulders and take photos with them. You know, they're putting their arms around them. The Secret Service has to kind of step in and say, hey, let's back up here. But the energy is just palpable. And I know I sound like a Trump cheerleader. I think I'm pretty good at criticizing him when the occasions arise, which they do. But in this case, this is like quintessential campaigning. This is like the stuff you see in movies. Like, oh, you go to a construction site, you go to a bodega, you go to these places, and people are enthusiastic for him. And then when you put that next to Joe Biden walking into an empty gas station where it looks like there was just an apocalypse because there's nobody there except for him and a mayor, it's pretty jarring. It's pretty stunning. And so I wanted to play some sound of this. I wanted to get your take. 844-500-4242. Let's start with Bobby Bartels from the Steamfitters Union. He was talking to Newsmax today. He was at this greeting for Donald Trump, or this meetup. Trump stayed there for about 15 minutes before he left, but 15 minutes is all it takes. This is Cut 14.
In the past,
We are basically Democrats, all of us. And after what's happened the last 4 years in this country, Democrats are basically pushing everybody to the other side. We're a very patriotic group, and we love our country, and we want the best for America. We are tired of immigration. We're tired of our tax dollars going to immigration. We're tired of the crime. We need to put a handle on things in this country and bring it back to how it should be.
Yeah. And I'm gonna say that Bobby Bartels meant illegal immigration, but his overall point is just, we used to be Democrats. It reminded me of what Bill Maher said, where he's like, you know, everyone keeps writing these headlines that I'm suddenly more conservative. I'm not. I've always been the same. The Democrat Party left me. I've been in the same position. They just keep going further and further to the left. And I think that's how a lot of people feel. This is Vish Bura, and he's got a message for Biden. This is Cut 15.
How was it seeing the former president?
Oh, it was absolutely incredible to see him on the streets of Manhattan, meeting up with, you know, your working class folks here, the type that are out working hard at 6 a.m. It was my first time ever meeting him, and it was really dope. So,
what's your message to Joe Biden?
My message to Joe Biden: I haven't seen you anywhere. I hope New York turns red because we're not voting for you.
Yikes. Joe Biden's the guy who mows his own lawn. Has Vish not heard that yet? He's worn a hard hat before. He wore it backwards, but he wore it. 844-500-4242.
You think when Joe's mowing the lawn, he makes the noise like he made the noise of the car when he was talking to Robert Hur?
Yeah, maybe. He says he really likes that. He really likes to mow the lawn. And I just think that when they wanted to hamstring Trump, when they wanted to have him there, they just didn't think of all of the possible outcomes. That, like, oh no, Trump's going to go around and get all of these supporters to show up for him. And that visual is pretty impactful. Like, I once again, I think Democrats didn't see this all the way through. 844-500-4242. We'll talk about this. Chance of USA broke out today as Trump stopped at this construction site before he moved on to his hush money trial. And there's a lot to talk about. We have a lot with these protesters, these activists. And you know what actually I keep thinking of now is this Kurt Schlichter column that I was reading earlier. And it kind of, in a way, it does coincide with what these union guys are saying in New York, which Kurt Schlichter is asking, are Jewish people in America going to abandon the Democrats? And it's a pretty stark decision they have to make, because on one hand, it's like you either vote Democrat, which, and Kurt Schlichter makes a really good point. He says, listen, a lot of Jewish people in America, they identify as liberal. It's a big part of their identity, and it's hard to turn on a dime. It really is. But at this point, you're being confronted with a group that is openly saying that it's okay to hate Jews. It's okay to wish for Jews to be eradicated. And if you continue to support that party, you're doing so at your own peril. 844-500-4242. We'll be right back. We'll take your calls on all of this. I want to hear what you guys think of Trump making this stop in New York. Where's he going to go to next? This should be a game. Where in the world is Donald Trump going to be next in New York? We'll be right back.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. This is the Grace Curley Show.
You know what I keep thinking about with these protesters? Like, every day there's a new story about sprinklers or something wrong with the tents. I actually read an entire story today, which I meant to send to Howie. He would really like it. Somebody from the New York Post got the lowdown on all the snacks, on the snack situation. I believe it was at Columbia. All the different kinds of nuts they're eating, granola bars and Dunkin' Donuts. And it was very specific on the type of snacks, the prices. It was the kind of story where I thought, did Howie sneak off and write a story for the New York Post? But we have more updates for you. But something I keep thinking of when I hear about these protests, And we did it as a poll question the other day. At Columbia, they've already moved everyone to Zoom learning because, God forbid, they just try to address the issue with the actual nuts that have taken over the campus. No, no, everyone's going to have to be punished. Jewish students are going to have to stay home, learn through the computer. I've read that parents and people who are paying tuition are very upset by this. They're looking for refunds. I don't blame them. I always thought the same thing during COVID. But it got me thinking, and there was a piece in the Wall Street Journal talking about how they're gearing up for the graduations, like how this is going to go. We know these protesters love, more than they love Palestine or Gaza, more than they love Hamas, what they love the most is ruining a nice moment. If there's a nice occasion, they will seize and pounce and weaponize on it. And they do it with such glee, with such enthusiasm. It like brings them so much joy to take a moment that's nice and to make it suck. And so naturally, they're going to do that with graduation. And so the school's prepping, you know, we set up specific areas for protests. Hopefully they'll stay within those areas. Not getting the sense they follow directions. That's just number one. But the other thing that got me thinking, I'm like, imagine being a father and you're already saying to yourself, all right, I'm going to have to sit through. Like, you're proud of your son or daughter, but you're thinking, these graduations, especially at big schools, it's a long day. It's like 3 hours in the hot sun. And then you find out that there's a chance that a bunch of radical Jew-hating nuts are going to storm the stage. I would be like, we're good. Let's all go to lunch. Tell them to send the diploma to the house. I can't sit through this nonsense. And they'll do it because this is what they love to do. They love to do it at plays, which I'd never seen that before. I never seen someone interrupt a play and say, listen, everybody. And I know theater people. Jared, you know theater people too. That is sacrilege. That is something that they don't like if you interrupt because you have like a cough or something. They don't like if you interrupt and through no fault of your own. To purposely interrupt something like that is unheard of in the theater community, which is just another example of these protesters wanting to ruin a good time. So I think the graduations are going to be a real spectacle in and of themselves. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm 3-pack special. Everyone loves the Thunderstorm. And if you want to get one, it's only 1/3 the cost of those bulky air purifiers. Take advantage of the Thunderstorm 3-pack special at EdenPureDeals.com and use promo code GRACE3. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at GraceCurlyShow.com, is the hush money trial hurting or helping Trump?
I think it's helping him because no one seems to be focused on the bombshells coming out of it. Like, I haven't really seen, at least on social media, which is kind of my go-to on these things, I haven't seen a lot of people aghast at anything that the National Enquirer's former editor, David Pecker, has come out with. Like, we know that Trump wasn't a very loyal husband. We already know that. You're not telling us new stuff. So instead, people are focusing on what Trump's doing in New York, which is campaigning and meeting with all these different groups who typically would be Democrats but are going towards Trump. So yes, I think it's backfiring.
76% of the audience agrees that it is helping Trump. 24% think it is hurting.
All right, when we come back, it's sprinkler time. The sprinkler system at the Havid Yad is threatening all these beautiful encampments. And we're going to talk about it. That plus the protester diet at Columbia when we come back.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
A little bit from these Harvard students who are protesting against Israel. Can I have cut two, please?
There is only one solution!
There is only one solution!
Antifa revolution!
Antifa revolution!
Antifa revolution!
Antifa revolution!
Antifada revolution is what they're chanting at Harvard. So I want to read you a few of the updates from the Harvard Crimson last night and into this morning. Okay, it starts at 11:30. And there were other things beyond the sprinklers, but I kind of zoned in on that. I didn't really care about the rest of it. It says 11:31, organizers notified those at the encampment that the yard sprinklers will go off at some point in the night as regularly scheduled. They asked student protesters to bring theirs and other bags out of the encampment so they don't get wet overnight. As the weather gets colder into the night, organizers also reminded protesters of the stash of extra blankets and hand warmers. Temperatures are expected to dip into the low 30s overnight. You know what always fascinates me about this? They act like there's guns to their head and they're being forced to do this. Go home. Go into your dorm where there's, you know, dry beds and doors and a roof. No one's forcing you to sit in the grass and be covered in sprinkler water. Like, this was your choice. Life is all about choices. Maybe you should think about why you're choosing this. And also, you know, I would add in, if people are sitting out and protesting and the sprinklers come on at a certain time every night, I don't know if we need the warnings per se. Like, I think sometimes an element of surprise is necessary. You know, if you're going to take the risk sitting out there all night and protesting, the sprinklers go on. It's kind of part of it's a game of chance. Next up, sprinklers turn on inside encampment. This is at 3:50 a.m. A sprinkler has turned on within the encampment in the middle of the tents. A protester covered it immediately with a bucket and is now seated on the bucket as a puddle forms around it. There is little movement among campers. Hold on a second. Hold on a second. I have a question here, Jared. Blocking said water and essentially wasting it because it's going to pool up in that one area. It's not going to get to the little blades of grass that it needs to get to. Dare I say that is an affront to Mother Earth? Dare I say that that is anti-Earth Day? And this is the week of Earth Day.
Will no one think of what the grass needs?
Right. Like, okay, so now your protest is harming the grass at Harvard.
Why are you punching Mother Earth in the ovaries?
Why are you punching down on the grass? Yellow team, this is from the protester. Yellow team needs to come now. What is the yellow team? They have different
teams.
They have
teams now.
They have teams. I wonder what is under the yellow team's responsibilities that when the sprinkler turns on, they need to get there. Like, what is their expertise in this? They have a lot of buckets on hand? I'm not sure. Sprinklers. Oh, you know, I'm sorry. I skipped. This is 220. As temperatures dip to 36 degrees, sprinklers near University Hall have begun to turn on, though none on the grass within the encampment. So that was the first round. Then 350 comes. That's when the hero pro-Palestinian protester shows up with the bucket, sits on said bucket, and everything's, you know, semi still okay. This is 4:05 a.m. This is from the Harvard Crimson. Sprinkler struggle continues. As protesters spend their first night in the Harvard Yard encampment, the biggest threat to their stay has not come from administration. You know what? This is shame.
Sounds like the Diary of Roscoe the Pug from the Chump Line.
I don't have time right now because we're on the air, but I've got to text somebody at like Red State or Spectator, and I got to say, you have to cover Sprinklergate. Because this is not getting nearly enough attention. As protesters spend their first night in the Harvard Yard encampment, the biggest threat to their stay has not come from administrators or Harvard University police officers, but the yard sprinklers. I got to steal it from Howie today. How many more, Mr. Speaker? How many more protesters have to get drenched by the dreaded sprinklers?
I think we have a summer of defund the sprinklers ahead of us, Grace.
Two more sprinklers turned on at the edge of the encampment near Massachusetts Hall. The sprinklers began to hit tents on the edge of the camp, before protesters rushed over to cover the sprinklers with buckets and sit on them. What a night. Oh, what a night.
Let's have a moment of silence for the brave bucket sitters covering the sprinklers.
You know what, Jared? I've heard stories that they're still there to this day. They're still sitting on those sprinklers. You know, if I'm the...
In the off chance they turn back on.
If I'm the person who's in charge of, like, upkeeping the lawns...
The groundskeeper.
The groundskeeper.
Whatever, yeah.
I would be...
Maintenance department.
I would not be happy because anybody who's had a sprinkler system, and I, in my adult life, have never had one, but when I was a child, my parents had a sprinkler system. Those things are finicky as hell. You don't mess with those. You step on one of those the wrong way, Jared, you're in for it. And they're not
cheap.
Yeah,
you're watering the street, and it's broken.
They're not cheap, and they're not easy to fix. So if I see a bunch of hooligans sitting with buckets on top of my sprinkler system, and that's my job, I'm going to be miffed. And I'm not saying it's going to come to blows. I'm not saying I'm going to mess with the encampment group. But I would definitely take it up with Harvard and say, hey, by the way, don't come at me in a couple days when the sprinklers are all out of whack because the bucket brigade was sitting on them. I'm all riled up here. This is a crazy story. Now, also, since we're covering the protesters, the Columbia protester diet, anti-Israel students munch on sandwiches, pricey nuts, and sip on Dunkin' Donuts. This is really, it reads like craft services. They've got so much going on here.
I'll have the gabagool.
The evening meal marked 1 week of the group's headlining-making demonstration, as similar ones have spread like wildfire. So here's what they're eating. Candy, donuts, fruits, nuts, granola bars, a $17 jar of Good & Gather sea salt roasted mixed nuts, cheaper options like Blue Diamond almonds. Oh, thank God we have cheaper options. Planters cashews for people who are really just not feeling fancy. We're also laid out for the students. Sandwiches from Prêt-à-Manger were neatly lined along the table. A simple veggie sandwich would only cost $8, but those with any meat between the bread slices cost between $10 and $14, or even $16 for a salmon option.
Gabagool, over here.
I don't know. I hate to be critical because I know all of these students are a lot smarter than me. And speaking of smart anti-Israel protesters, we are going to get to Crackhead Barney in a second. But I feel like back in the day, and Jared, you can speak to this as someone who was, you're roughly around the same age as the president. So you have...
Yes, I was on campus poking flowers into the barrels of guns.
Okay, thank
you. Back in the day.
So this will be no problem for you. I feel like protests used to be a little bit more gritty. I don't think they were as curated, you know, where you had these $15 sandwiches lined up. Like, this seems to me like more of a day camp or something than it does a protest.
And Becky, the genocide major, does not protest for anything less than 100% vegan mayonnaise sandwiches.
That's what I mean. It's like very... very prim and proper protests, I find. I mean, aside from the sprinklers, which really did throw a wrench in everyone's plans.
So I think the play here is, obviously, they're not stealing this food. It's being purchased or whatever. We need to trace who is buying this food. And then that will tell us who is funding these protests, I think.
Well, Jared, it's funny you should ask that because in the New York Post, it says, who or what organization is behind the food delivery is a mystery. Seems like this is a case for Inspector Diglio.
Meat conglomerates.
is it Big Meat? Are they funding these protests? The Columbia's administration.
Maybe not at the same rate as Biggie's beef.
Now, here's another interesting tidbit. Columbia's administration restricted access to the campus to only Columbia ID holders and credentialed press members. The reason I bring this up is because when we were listening to Jonah Goldberg yesterday go back and forth with that crazy woman from the New York Times, her biggest excuse, like the biggest shield they have against these accusations that these radical protesters are Hamas huggers, the biggest excuse is like, well, those weren't the students. Those were people from the outside who were glomming on to these peaceful protests. Well, now it seems like going forward, we can pretty much say that any protest going on at Columbia currently are the students or someone associated with the school. They're not just randos outside the gates of Columbia who want to get into the mix. Yeah, there might be some cases like we saw yesterday where a girl from, was it NYU? She traveled to Columbia and she said, you know, I heard about this. So you might get other Ivy Leaguers or other, you know, college educated people showing up. But for the most part, I think it's safe to say they're students. Now, another protester who I think deserves a little bit of attention is Crackhead Barney. If you're not familiar with Crackhead Barney, shame on you. Educate yourself, okay? These are things you need to know. Stop being so ignorant. Crackhead Barney was the woman who harassed Alec Baldwin at a New York City coffee shop the other day, and she wanted him to say Free Palestine. Now, if you're thinking to yourself, why would Alec Baldwin saying Free Palestine in a New York City coffee shop change the landscape of the current war between Israel and Hamas? You're asking the right questions. I have no idea. But Crackhead Barney went on with Piers Morgan, and the rest is just TV gold. Can I have cut one, please, Jared?
Can you explain why you did it?
What did I do to Alec Baldwin? Piers, do you see the damage that Alec did to me? Do you see the damage? Look at my arms. Look at my arms, Piers. Look at my neck. I was maimed by a white man on Monday. You're telling me what I did?
No, you weren't maimed by Alec Baldwin on Monday, were you?
I was maimed.
No, you weren't.
My hand is broken. My neck is broken.
No, it's
not. Look at my legs. My legs don't work. Look at this. Piers, are you another white devil?
Oh.
Piers Morgan. Don't do this to me, Piers. It's too early in the morning, Piers. Piers, it's so early.
Not the wig.
Your wig's come off.
Okay.
It's not a wig, Piers. It's my hair. I'm a white woman. I identify as a white woman.
Okay, so it would seem that Crackhead Barney is a bit of a provocateur. No? That she's a performance artist. The neck brace is interesting. All I think about when I see a neck brace that's being used in that way to create controversy is a scene in Chappaquiddick when all of the Kennedys, like, handlers are there to try to handle the scandal, and Ted Kennedy's going to the funeral for Mary Jo, and he says, oh, you know, he keeps saying he's going to wear the neck brace, and they all keep telling him, do not wear the neck brace. This is a horrible idea. And he goes out, and the cameras are there. And then the next scene, they show him like looking at the newspaper of himself with the neck brace. And he goes, I think the neck brace was a big mistake. And all the guys are like, yeah, no way. Really? We told you that. But this woman, Crackhead Barney, also utilizing a neck brace and a wig. And I don't know. I don't know why Alec Baldwin has become this figure in this battle where we need him to say Free Palestine. Is it like a situation, Jared, where if he says it, it's like Beetlejuice and everything's going to stop? Bibi Netanyahu's going to decide, you know what? Never mind. I'll let the whole slaughtering of all of my people go and we'll have a ceasefire with Hamas. Which, by the way, in the Boston Globe, there's a story today. Hamas official says group would lay down its arms if an independent Palestinian state is established. Oh, isn't that convenient for the Hamas official? Should we be skeptical of what this Hamas official says? That's up to you. I don't think the Boston Globe is too skeptical. We'll be right back. We got people on the lines. We'll take your calls. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. Trump is in court now for the hush money trial. The Supreme Court justices are hearing this argument from Jack Smith and Trump's lawyers going back and forth on presidential immunity. We'll keep you posted on all of that. But right now we're talking about these pro-Palestinian, anti-Israel, anti-Jew protests that are going on around the country, and especially here in Boston, where Harvard, The protesters at Harvard are dealing with all sorts of, they're dealing with a lot of adversity, and they're dealing with a lot of issues, including the sprinklers. We got people on the lines who want to talk about it. Let's go to David. You're up first on the Grace Curley Show. What's going on, David?
Hello?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, I have a comment and a question. The comment is how much you want to bet that these Harvard students are going to start saying that the sprinklers and the water and the hoses, the whole system, is a Jewish conspiracy against them.
Probably. I wouldn't bet on that because I think you'd win that bet. But yes, David, what's your other point?
What does Howie think about all this? And is Howie going to be going to Jeff Kuhner's?
I can tell you right now, I've already talked to Howie about what he thinks about all this, and he thinks it's insane. And as far as the sprinkler system goes, Jared, can you read the text we just got about the Wi-Fi?
Yeah, this is from 207. Hey, I'm a sprinkler doctor up here in Maine. If they have a Wi-Fi irrigation controller, the maintenance guy can turn on anytime with his cell. Soak them.
Yeah, I would guess that because of Harvard's, endowment and how much money they've got at Harvard, I'm sure they have a Wi-Fi system with the sprinklers. They're not using, like, manual sprinklers like the rest of the peasants. Reese, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. What's going on, Reese?
Yo, Grace. I wake up at 3 a.m. and I get off work at noon, so you and the crew make my commute back home way better than my drive in. These Harvard and these college dunces across the board, it's wicked infuriating. But the thing that drives me the most nuts is how proud of themselves they are, how they think that, you know, this is, in their minds, this is like one for one. They're, you know, they might as well be marching, you know, against segregation in the 60s. That's what's going on in their heads. But that kind of made me think maybe Biden got sprayed by a sprinkler a couple decades back, and that's why he somehow always misremembers himself getting hosed down in Selma or whatever's going on in his mind.
Yeah, or being in prison next to Nelson Mandela. Yeah, I'm sure Joe Biden will have a sprinkler story today. It probably coincided with when he was mowing the lawn. But you're right.
Connor, water cannons.
The biggest, Reese's.
Ice cream.
I should say, Reese, thank you for the compliment. Thank you for listening. And number two is you're dead on about the smugness being a huge part of the infuriation factor here. The self-importance of these protesters who are eating like $17 a jar nuts and thinking that they're doing something that's going to change the course of the Israel-Hamas war and promoting Hamas propaganda and spreading conspiracy theories and hate. And thinking they're doing something great is so ridiculous. And you're dead on the money there. We'll be right back. We'll take more calls. We got a lot to get to. Don't go anywhere.